This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Modernization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Daniel Myers, CEO of LegacyJ. Daniel brings 30 years of experience as an expert in mainframe development, architecture, and legacy modernization. During that time, he has been involved in numerous modernization projects that have eliminated the need for re-engineering the applications. So now let's take this opportunity to learn more about software modernization and integration. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Daniel Myers, CEO of LegacyJ.
Can you give me a brief background about your experience in legacy modernization?
Certainly. In 1986, I started designing Unix systems. It was actually for State of California agencies. I was working for Sperry, then Unisys in Sacramento. And I was the primary architect, and we started putting them together, and we would do 50 or 60 or 100 users at a time. And about a year into that, there was a warehouse application that was run on a big COBOL mainframe situation environment at the data center, one of the data centers there. And the Office of Procurement was my client, and they liked our Unix box, they liked the Office application, and they were complaining about this stupid warehouse application. So I borrowed, using an SNARJE printer application, I borrowed this 2,100 item warehouse. It turned out to be 120,000 square feet worth of toothpaste and tomato soup and whatever else. Wasn't a very large file, and I rewrote the entire application in the shell script, which sounds silly, but it was just a simple set of functions that they wanted. And instead of spending $300,000 a year, the next year they were able to be on time, cut their overtime, get rid of the application charges. They bought all the gear once for $40,000. They were able to do their physical inventory. There are all kinds of metrics that they met much better with this new silly shell script driven flat file application on a Unix box. That sounds kind of silly. It sounds kind of simple. But in fact, a lot of the times, modernization efforts, whether it's a rewrite or just a rehosting, wind up having that same kind of situation. So that was the first one I did. And that's 24 years ago, I guess.
All right. And since that time, what kind of modernization projects have you been involved in? Are they mostly COBOL, or what kind of area do you like to concentrate in?
Well, I had done a bunch of different kinds of consulting between 1990 and 2008. I got involved with LegacyJ at the end of 2008 to help do marketing. Then I took over as the CEO in January 2009. LegacyJ had started out as a COBOL to COBOL and Java modernization or conversion toolkit company. In 1996, our original founder had put together a translator compiler that would take IBM COBOL and move that over into, it would translate that into Java, one or two, three lines at a time. We would then take that Java and compile it with whatever Java compiler was available for a particular platform. You would then have your COBOL application running in a line at a time mode in Java as an executable, along with a runtime which helped to bridge some of the differences between COBOL structures and Java structures. We also then had an integrated development environment, the IBM Eclipse environment is what they used back then, back in 96 through 96, 97, 98. So the majority of LegacyJ's history was selling this compiler to customers who were either data centers, they were companies and organizations, public sector organizations that had mainframes, they had old mini computer systems that needed to be able to move away from the hardware platform into some newer situation. For then about a dozen years, that is really what the company done from 96 to 2008. It only sold products and training with just a little bit of service. There were a couple of notable exceptions in which there were large conversion projects that were done. A couple of COBOL and CICS capabilities were put together for major IBM customers. So by and large, it was selling a toolkit that would allow somebody move into COBOL and Java. And this is not user Java, by the way. It's this COBOL and Java. And the difference is your COBOL programmers can continue to maintain this application in COBOL. They would refire up the translator compiler and have a new working version with the changes, whatever slight changes or major changes had been made. And that would now then run in Java on the Java virtual machine on the new environment that they had acquired. So that had been the focus up until about 2009. We have added then a factory service capability. So now we'll do the conversion for you. kind of makes sense in the sense that we know how to do this very quickly. In order for a customer to do it, the customer would have to evaluate it for several weeks, would have to train people for several weeks. They would have to then go get good at it and work through it, work with our tech support people. It could be several months to get the same thing done that we could do in two to six weeks, even for the largest COBOL set. And since our translator is written in C and then the follow-up compiler is in Java, it's both highly portable and very high speed. So we're able to crank through a lot of COBOL in any given day, let alone having a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to do that. So we really see the future of things for us as the C to J, the COBOL to Java factory service company, being able to make these conversions happen faster than anybody else. So we do, and it's often called lift and shift. We lift it up, we translate it into Java, but we leave it in a fashion that you can continue to do COBOL maintenance. We don't force you to retrain or fire all your old COBOL programmers and turn them into Java or C-sharp programmers. And of course, if you sit with your mature COBOL application running in Java, it can be accessed. You may have 200, 300 features that you love in that COBOL application. They're now available to any modern software technology or tools, whether it's Windows or Linux or Unix, any of the SOA capabilities. All of those new software tools are able to reach across to your COBOL feature set without having to rewrite or re-engineer or touch that set, and be able to continue to modernize the interfaces for users, the ways that you get data in and out, and able to use that same COBOL application. Those are the changes. That's where we came from. Originally a toolkit product company, now both a product and a service company.
That sounds interesting. So let me understand. The COBOL, when you take the COBOL to the Java, what you're doing is creating a Java that's mostly a runtime version, and they do their maintenance back in the COBOL and then just convert it back over again. And future maintenance, is it not done? It's not done in Java then, it sounds like.
That's correct. And there are other companies in this space that take you from COBOL, boom, all the way to Java. That's a fine thing to do, but then you have a staffing issue. Now, a lot of people wave their hands, and you know, there are percentages of companies and public sector organizations that say, oh, yeah, we want to go to Java anyway. Well, that's great, but we've got 24 years of maturity with this COBOL application. If you're going to rewrite that, you got issues, and they're large issues. And if you look at on our website, there's a page, it's on the left marked Start. And there's a chart that indicates this big bubble of expenses, serious time, talent, and risk that goes into any kind of a rewrite, even with the best of technologists available. And of course, normally what happens is, over a period of time, the guys that manage on a day-to-day basis any given data center with its applications are good at the day-to-day management. They're not experts at modernization or migration or conversion. That's not what they do every day. So you either have the question of getting new talent to overcome the risk of using people that don't do it regularly, which is very expensive, or take the risk and look at the time it's going to take for your existing staff to become really good with a new tool, a new language, a new set, all kinds of, you know, SDLC issues, do something totally different than what they've been hired and have been executing for some years. Bunch of really interesting stories that I've run into over the years and seen up close and personal that are really scary. So one of our focuses is time, talent, and risk. How do we make those as small as possible? So I believe that with our factory approach, the time goes is as short as can be. The talent is ours on loan to you for that short period of time. The risks are very low because I'm just taking a copy of your stuff. I'm converting it. I'm going to give you back. I'm going to deliver a copy back for you to do side-by-side confirmation testing. So the real risk is, do you have a method to verify that your 150 key features are working on your current machine and now they work on the new machine? So we have all of the various technologies to put that together and be able to offer that to you. Now let me answer another piece of your question there. I take COBOL. Let's say I have a 500-line COBOL program. I'll translate that into maybe a, let's say, 1,000-line Java version. So these are Java lines of code, you know, one or two or three per initial original COBOL line. I then take this intermediate code and I compile that with the Java compiler. That turns into your COBOL application running as a Java jar. So your application is now running in Java. We have a support program called percobol.jar. That extra program helps to bridge the functional gap between COBOL and Java. There are just some differences in the way that a structured procedural language like COBOL and an object-oriented language like Java approach some things. So this several dozen feature difference list is handled by that additional piece. And that's all that's for. So you've got your application running as a Java executable, our percobol.jar running alongside, and those two things will run in your new environment. Your COBOL staff will use the IBM-compatible Eclipse IDE that has some of our plugins in it, into it. They'll use that then to do COBOL maintenance on the source code, and then it'll be translated and recompiled to generate a new, you know, your COBOL application.jar. So it's a fairly direct process, but it's also a reasonably clever one.
Yeah, that sounds quite good. I actually do quite a bit of work on a 4GL language, and it's somewhat similar. You know, I write this metacode, and then it generates a COBOL program at the end, and that's what really runs. So in this case, you're just using COBOL sort of as a meta language and converting it to a Java runtime. I was also wondering how you handled the differences between an object-oriented language and a procedural, and you answered that when you brought up that one piece there about the additional program you've created. So now we've sort of talked about the basics about what you do in your application. We'll get into that a little bit more as we go on, but who should consider modernizing their applications?
I think anybody running on an old mainframe or an old mini computer. Number one, those are the primary targets. You've got hardware issues, you've got software issues, you have staffing issues, you've got maintenance and licensing and support issues, you know, in and around the mainframes in particular. But not just that. I mean, the HP3000s, for example, the Tandems, the Unisys machines, all of the old hardware, and we support 17 different COBOL, so we're good with that. Anybody with an old situation really should look at the budgetary implications. Although IBM loves to do everything in the world to convince people that staying with a mainframe is a great idea and you can't really get off it, you know, point in fact is there are a lot of COBOL applications that could be lifted out of a mainframe and run on 2 to 4 PCs, PC servers, whether it's Windows or Linux. If you take 2 pairs of servers for high availability, you virtualize it, you share the storage between them, you do a bunch of the 2010 kinds of PC server virtualized tricks that are readily available off the shelf, you can get the performance that you had for that COBOL application and move that quickly then to a new environment that'll provide the same kind of feature functionality to the users that are still coming in over some kind of a TCP network. Even now, most of the mainframe access is done in that fashion. So certainly, budgetarily is a big issue. Technology is a second issue. The question about COBOL programmers, do you want to stay with them or not? Well, we offer an answer. We offer a solution that says you don't have to get rid of your COBOL programmers. You don't have to commit to Java or C# or another choice right now. In fact, what I think is that this offers an excellent 2 to 5 year bridge between what you have that's mature and working and then a new collection of environments and architectures and enterprise definitions for your organization. We provide a nice way to get rid of the old machines. And well, here, let me say it briefly. The people that should consider modernizing are those people with mainframes and old mini computers. They have budgetary issues in general. They have a need to get away from that mainframe completely, or they want to reduce their transaction costs. If you're on a mainframe and you're running a COBOL CICS transaction environment, IBM will charge you for every transaction that you execute in any given month and quarter. We are able to take those COBOL, and without messing with the rest of the mainframe, we can take your COBOL out of that environment, put it on smaller new servers, get rid of those transaction technologies, and reduce your need to upgrade your mainframe in the near to medium term future. You could wind up using that old machine and not having to upgrade for ages, if at all, because you modernized, picked that COBOL out of the mainframe environment, moved it over to Windows Server, Linux servers, and it running fine. And of course, the performance you can get out of a Windows Server set or Linux Server set will exceed the upgrade capability of a mainframe easily.
So why would companies not consider modernizing their applications when they, you know, you just gave such a good picture of how a modernized application can save money and time and all kinds of situations. What are the downsides that, they would run across?
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. IBM's done a great job in particular of marketing the beauty of the mainframe. They continue to have evolved it so that it is, that there are cheaper versions. They continue to tout the high availability, disaster recovery, the quote-unquote green footprint. I'm not fond of the latitude they take with the truth about comparing that to PC server situations. I don't really care that much about PC server technology. It is just that if you consider Google, Facebook, MySpace, Yahoo, none of them have a mainframe anywhere on any network in any building at all, ever. The largest mainframe installation I know of is 17,000 MIPS or so. Each of those four social sites has more than 50 million users that are banging away on a regular basis every day, far exceeding anything that any mainframe configuration has done or could do. So at some point, it's disingenuous to say that well, IBM has to be the only answer for big banks. If you took the same, I used to build high availability configurations back in the late 80s in Unix systems. You couldn't buy them, so you had to build them. And we did. And it took extra work. IBM's done a wonderful job productizing the mainframe and then redoing it in the last 10 to 15 years. However, it costs a lot of money. Money for hardware, licenses, training, software applications. All of the different issues are very expensive with the mainframe. And people tell me, IBMers will tell me, oh, well, you can't get the same level of functionality. And I go, well, okay. If you believe that, that's great. It just doesn't happen to be really the truth of the matter. But if you guys are completely, you know, committed to that, okay, stay there and do that. Now, how could we help somebody who's a dyed-in-the-wool mainframer? As I said earlier, we could take some of those COBOL applications and we could move them over so that their migration and their upgrade path doesn't have to happen next quarter. It could happen later. We can help along those lines. And a piece-by-piece movement, you don't run email on an IBM mainframe, for example. You run it somewhere else. Well, if you've got 1,000 people or 10,000 people in your company, they're doing serious work on Windows machines with Windows email servers, and they integrate or they interface with the mainframe for whatever specific reasons. But a lot of what really goes on in the company is not specific to the mainframe application. So that's the kind of, those are the kind of considerations that people have already had to, you know, IT organizations have already had to think about the fact that the mainframe is for specific applications and they may be mission critical. Well, I have seen over the last 25 years, people move mission critical applications to smaller servers.
That happens all the time these days, you know. The moving from a larger system to a smaller, more efficient system. Now, I mean, some of these are perceived issues and the perceived risks that the companies would have, but there are some actual genuine risks. What would those risks be that the companies face?
Well, one of the risks, if you're going to rewrite a COBOL application, COBOL CICS set, let's say, and you got vSAM storage or iSAM or DB2, whatever. If you're going to go in and rewrite, it's entirely possible. You can just run out of gas. You can run out of talent. You can run out of enough resource to be able to move ahead and finish in a timely basis this new version, this new business-oriented flavor of this major set of IT functions. To me, rewriting is the riskiest thing that can be done. So if you're going to move from an IBM mainframe to anything else, and you're going to rewrite, you're going to continue to run that mainframe and that old application for however many years until you're sure and good to go with the move to this new set. The complexities of doing that, and again, I don't mean to pick on the day-to-day staff, but the day-to-day staff for most technology centers are focused on, they're hired to do day-to-day work. They're not hired to be enterprise architects. They're not hired to be modernization or migration experts. They're not multiple language guys, usually. They're hired specifically because they're great at COBOL or database or DB2 or whatever. The real risk associated with making these moves, if you're re-engineering and rewriting, is that you won't get it done in a timely manner. And what you'll get is a mess. With our approach, the translate, then update, the lift and shift, with what we do, I'm going to deliver you a side-by-side testable flavor that runs all of the functions for your existing application. The real risk is Do you not know how to test your own application? If that's true, if you don't have a good testing plan, then there is a greater than zero risk that you might mess that up. Those are essentially the profiles for the re-engineering versus the rehosting kinds of conversion, migration, modernization projects.
So whether it's your process or some other modernization process, it sounds like using some kind of automated approach like you have is really the route to go to reduce the risks.
It is the fastest and least risky approach of all that I have ever heard of.
Now, what do you see as the future of modernization?
I have talked to several of my colleagues about that, and they believe, and I agree, that our lift and shift idea is one of several. Sometimes you need to rewrite and recreate what goes on. That's a second choice. Sometimes you need to move to a new language because, indeed, you've been working to develop your Java staff, for example, let's say, and you do need to pick up and move. You don't need to have an intermediate holding position like the one we provide. You actually want to take COBOL and move it to Java. COBOL moved to C#. So there are then those automated facilities for doing that. And they're getting better and better and better. I am not as happy with the BPM or the business intelligence approaches because although they do a good job of providing an automated tool to recreate, you know, the business functionality or create new business functionality, there is a question in my mind of how much risk do you want to take for any given period of time. For example, in our case, if ours was one of two or three different ideas, lift and shift, some rewriting, some re-engineering, some re-architecting completely with a business intelligence tool, we could provide cost savings by reducing platform costs that would allow you to fund two or three of these other ideas. And that's an interesting approach. I was talking to one senior consultant that I know, and he said, I love the idea that I could save so much money by getting rid of a mainframe over here that I could fund two or three other project development areas on the other side of the aisle. So I think there's a combination because it's not always the case that running COBOL and Java forever and doing COBOL maintenance forever is something somebody wants to do. Now you understand that Micro Focus COBOL is a $450 million company that has persuaded a lot of people every day this year to go ahead and stay in Micro Focus COBOL for the next 5 to 8 years. That's what they do. Then they've tripled the size of the company in the last 4 years. So you can't really argue with the fact that people are, you know, sometimes regrettably committed to COBOL, but they are going to be committed to having COBOL around because the expense and the risk and all those issues I've talked about of moving away from COBOL are significant.
Now, so far in the discussions, you've talked about the legacy J approach and how it's important to look at the time that it takes and the talent of the people doing the work. Why do you talk about that part so much?
Because the worst risk in any modernization effort are the time and talent issues. The biggest difficulty, the greatest failures, the classic screw-ups in re-engineering, modernization, rewriting efforts have really been around, do I have the right people running the show, re-architecting, designing, project managing, moving things? There's a classic case in Sacramento DMV Tandem from 88 to 95. Spent $45 or $6 million, supposed to take an old COBOL assembler mainframe set, move it onto a bunch of Tandem processors. The Tandem processors had all the performance characteristics in the world. There wasn't any question about that. They beat IBM out in a side-by-side test in 1988. And they could have run it on Tandem. They could have run it on a bunch of Unix SMPs, symmetric multiprocessors. Either way would have been fine. As it happened, 7 years, $45 million, they didn't have the right talent set, even though Tandem poured all kinds of guys into it, to manage that correctly and get it done. So at the end of it, they had to scrap it. They had to run on several large IBM mainframes, this old stuff, for another several years while they fixed it again. So one of the most popular failures died because of time and talent. So you want to talk about a risk? If you look right now, there's a federal IT projects in trouble list that's over 400 long. Obama came out last week and talked about 26 projects that were seriously screwed up. Time and talent. Time and talent. So That's what people need to focus on.
So that's sort of where you came up with a factory approach, where you can provide the talent and produce the product in a real reasonable amount of time.
And by the way, I mean, I should also say that I was horrified and became, you know, generally allergic to what was the big eight accounting and consulting firms approach. Every time they turned around, they'd do another COBOL mainframe application for you. Thank you very much. And they would do that even though there were other ways and other platforms that existed at a customer site. And so they would continue to invest heavily in old architecture, in old languages, in old stuff that would continue to drive up the cost of the mainframe for a given organization, because that's what they knew. And I, as a consultant and designer myself, I was offended by the fact that their answer was always the thing that they could do and build. They weren't going to consider if there are other possibilities that would very quickly be less costly. And the approach taken by many of those organizations and other, you know, consulting organizations too, was to say, well, I do A, therefore A is the answer. That's great, but you know, B, C, and D may be cheaper. You know, you got to think about that.
There's not one approach that fits every single job, is there? That's why there's so many programming languages and so many approaches out there.
Well, that's right. And there's also a lot of Smalltalk, of course, is one of the first OO languages. You know, Java then was another good shot. I mean, the interesting part to me is the Legacy J founders started in 96. That's 5 or 6 years before J2EE came out and made it any kind of a reasonable place to be. It wasn't very marketable until that thing happened in 2001, 2002. And so you look at it and you say, geez, they really, really made a great guess. I mean, who knew that Java would be on your cell phone and your mainframes? So, I mean, we sell Java JVM answers for Z Linux running on IBM mainframes. And we also have it running on my BlackBerry. I mean, who would have known that would happen? And then, of course, C# came after Java. And there are a lot of similarities between the two languages. And people ask me, for example, do I have plans to have a C# version of our product? And I say, well, since our stuff runs perfectly well with .NET and any Windows environment already, I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. Yeah, there are a bunch of opportunities along those lines.
So what are the different markets that you do address with Legacy J?
First question is, are you still running COBOL? And it's a horizontal question. It's a horizontal answer. Anybody that's still running COBOL, well, for example, I got a request in today, two requests today. One was an IBM COBOL Kix mainframe situation. Another was somebody that wanted to recast and get rid of Microfocus COBOL and use Legacy J COBOL. The reason is that their licensing scheme is 4 times more expensive than we are. So the opportunity to cut out what may be only $100,000 out of an IT budget, but it was a small IT budget, and they wanted to make that go away. And we do those kind of replacements too.
So you do provide a cost-effective approach then, even based on other COBOL systems. That's interesting.
Actually, the lowest price approach is really our target. And with Microfocus, IBM COBOL, Net COBOL, we're clearly the price leader there.
So are there any other products or services that you provide that we haven't really talked about yet that you'd like to explain before we continue on?
I'll mention briefly, we have a CICS, a Kix replacement product. Legacy J Transaction Processor is the old name. The new name is C2J Kix, K-I-X. And that then is, if you have enough users and you feel the need to have a terminal management solution like Kix is for the mainframe, we have a product to do that then in Java. We also have storage bridges, vSAM and iSAM bridges, to let you continue running those old storage data architectures on your mainframe and to bridge that across then to SQL structures on your new platform. We have a couple of other translation tools in general, and then we use a variety of partners for everything else in the constellation that may be there in a mainframe. If you have Natural Database, for example, we have a partner that does that work for us. And there are many other partner answers that we bring in.
So it sounds like if anybody has COBOL and has a mainframe or even a mid-range system, they should really consider looking at your options there. You provide a nice broad range of services.
Like, for example, if you had an IBM mainframe and an old AS400 and an old Tandem running in some big data center somewhere, we can provide a COBOL modernization answer for all three of those, you know, quickly. And you can move all three of those to a Linux server set and, you know, pick the high availability, the disaster recovery, as much performance as you like to pay for, you know, $1,000 per server at a time. And you know, there was an interesting test that was done by Micro Focus a while back, and they had an IBM mainframe. They wound up with, the numbers were about 800 MIPS on four Linux servers, about 1,300 MIPS off of eight Windows servers. So with the small expense of Linux, with the PC performance you can get to with the multi-core systems, and then with a licensing approach like ours, which doesn't penalize you for having multi-cores, you can drive the budget down and the performance up to any level that you like, just like Google, Yahoo, MySpace, Facebook. Just the way that they do it is the way that we would suggest housing and re-performancing your application. So you don't mess with the functionality. You simply move it over to a new platform and increase the performance.
That sounds really good. You know, one of the biggest issues that people face is the whole cost of the modernization process, and sounds like you've addressed that quite substantially. So if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach you?
Website's the easiest, www.legacyj.com. Our sales numbers and contact numbers, phone numbers are there.
I will place a link on softwaremodernization.com, so if people stop by there, they'll be able to head up your way too. All right, that's all the questions I have for you. Have we left anything out, or do you think we've pretty much covered everything for you tonight?
I think we've done a good job, and appreciate your time and all.
All right, well, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing what happens with this. So, all right, okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremodernization.com and click on the interview link.